and welcome to the WTF1 podcast with me, Amber Jones, and the lovely Hayden Gullis. We're going to be chatting all things Chinese Grand Prix, and what a weekend of racing it was, Hayden. I don't know how you found it. There's been lots of mixed opinions across the board. What did you think of this Grand Prix, but the weekend as a whole?
Oh, I think there was a lot going on. I think for once, the sprint race was actually very enjoyable.
Yeah.
But maybe that was because we had 9 laps of somebody else leading before Max Verstappen then built a 12-second lead in a sprint race.
Bit of spice, bit of difference there.
Yeah, I think there was a bit of weather playing into it as well that made the sprint qualifying really exciting. I think the sprint part of the weekend was better than the main part of the weekend because it was less predictable. Whereas, yeah, later on it was a bit... I don't know whether it was me being tired. And again, I really feel for anyone who's not a European fan who has to do this all the time. I do take that for granted. And having to get up at 4 a.m. and then 8 a.m. For, you know, sprint race, then normal race and qualifying and all that. I hate it. It's horrible. So I feel for everybody who is a fan.
And you go
in
to
Australia.
Bed late as well.
I do. So yeah, that is the problem.
Going to bed at 2, waking up at 4, going back to sleep again, waking up again at like just before 8.
I haven't even told you that. And you know that already. You literally
know it, Hayden.
But yeah, that's exactly what I did. I was hanging out with my friends online till 2 a.m. and then 2 hours sleep, wake up at 4, watch it, go back to sleep, wake up at 8,
well,
watch it,
go back
to sleep, wake up at midday.
I just don't know if he's even going to go to sleep.
No, I was like, that's a bad idea. I would feel terrible.
Then your
Saturday
is just written off.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know whether it was just the tiredness that made me less interested on the Sunday or because the sprint race was better.
Yeah.
I think it was okay. It was good. It was good for what we have had recently, I'd say, the race. But if you look at it compared to, you know, all of the races ever in Formula One, it's still a stinker.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't know if I've just got a different opinion from everyone. So I was looking at all the feedback of what people thought of this race anyway to see, you know, did people rate this an interesting one or not? Because there was lots of different things going on, penalties flying out and safety car dramas and all this stuff. But I think it's that same comment. It's like, yes, there was a lot going on, but Max was so far ahead of everyone else. Like, again, it's just not super interesting for that, like, dominant point of view at the front. However, I just thought this Grand Prix brought all the drama, starting with fire. That was crazy to see the track on fire.
That. Yeah.
That's so much has happened. I think it's easy to forget what's actually happened at the start of the weekend.
I woke up on the Saturday. for sprint qualifying. And I missed it happening in FP1. I look at Twitter as I wake up and I'm like, why is the track on fire? What has happened here? And I thought, maybe it's some sort of accident. It's fine. Then I'm watching sprint qualifying and then they cut to a shot and the track's on fire again. I'm like,
I know.
What is going on?
Crazy. So I just thought, right, we've got rain, we've got fire. There's a lot of wind as well. I think I tweeted like, oh my gosh, rain and fire. Someone was like, don't forget about the wind. And I was like, we're going to have sunshine. We're going to have all the elements going on, whatever. But I did think the start of the weekend was very interesting. I definitely agree with that. And seeing, you know, Hamilton, was he on pole? Was he not on pole? He was doing well. Norris coming out of nowhere, doing amazing. That got me really excited. And then it obviously got to the race and it was interesting. I'm going to lead with that. It was interesting. There was a bit of drama, a few crashes from your favourite person, you know.
Why do we have to start with that?
I really want to know your opinion.
He's at fault.
Yes.
100%. As soon as you're the driver behind Hisking and driver in front, you're always at fault. And I think he deserved a penalty because he's taken somebody else's race out, regardless of whether it was out at that moment or giving them massive amount of damages that they're out of the race, basically, anyway. So I think it's fully deserved. I think a lot of people jump on the bandwagon of hate. And I think if people are allowed to be critical, they're allowed to be critical in this sport. And you can say, he made a mistake. What is he doing? He's not paying attention, stuff like that. I think people get very hateful on social media.
Yeah.
And that's just what I really dislike about it. Like, I can be critical about him and I can say, yeah, he wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
He made a mistake.
You support him, but you can own up when he's probably made a bit of a mistake.
Yeah, yeah. And that's perfectly fine. You can sort of be like, oh, you know, should he still have a seat for next season? Should Aston Martin pick up this driver or that driver? No problem with that. But yeah, people just get a little bit hateful, I think, on social media. I think people also don't understand what a concertina effect is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do a lot of sim racing and we're at a lower level and we have safety cars and our safety car restarts are horrendous. Mm-hmm. So I've experienced my fair share of concertina crashes under a safety car where basically the lead driver will go hit the brakes and then the next driver. The best way to explain this, right, is if you're ever driving on a normal road mm-hmm. and there's a traffic jam, and then you get to the end of the traffic jam and you're like, how did that happen? There's no traffic lights.
Yeah.
There's no lane changes. There's no crash. She's like, how on earth did that traffic jam happen? And basically the front driver might just like lift off a little bit. Then the car behind will react to that, lift off a little bit more. Then the car behind that would just tap the brake a little bit. Car behind that brakes a bit more, brakes a bit more. And you get further back until a car comes to a full stop. And then the car behind that stops for a little bit longer. And then you just have this traffic jam build up. And once it eventually clears, you're like, yeah, how did that happen? And that's basically what that is.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for Lance, he just wasn't paying attention. So in that instance, I think he probably would have hit Ricardo anyway, because that's how that Constantino effect works.
Mm-hmm.
But it wouldn't have been a massive shunt into the rear.
It
would have been
that it had.
A small little tap that Ricardo kind of did to Piastri. His nose was just touching the rear diffuser, mm-hmm. but not like a smash.
Nothing too much, where the car literally flips up in the air, basically. Just a little jump.
Yeah.
Do you think that Stroll should have taken more responsibility? Because, you know, after there was a lot of drama, Ricardo was really angry.
Yeah, yeah.
Stroll called him or the people in front mm-hmm. idiots. There's all this going on. Do you think he should take more responsibility? Or like you say, he was going to hit him anyway.
No, I don't think so, because I think at the end of the day, I think journalists have massively blown it out of proportion. That interview that I saw with Ricardo, where they get him straight out of the car and go, by the way, Stroll said it was your fault. And it's like that angry reaction that
you're saying
already,
it to rile him up.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, Sebastian Vettel, I love the man to pieces. And you can quote so many things of him. And he said famously in an interview about something like this, I think when Lewis was called up for calling Verstappen a or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, was called up for it. And Seb went, you know, you wouldn't put a microphone on a football player, and when they get taken out, they're going to be like, oh, sorry for that, or oh, that wasn't very nice.
Yeah.
No, they're going to be effing and blind and all that. It's the heat of the moment. It's a reaction. And you're always going to be like, oh my God, you just reacted to that. Okay, he wasn't paying attention. He looks, bam, straight into it, because everyone has literally, everyone's come to a stop when they shouldn't have been coming to a dead stop.
Yeah.
So it's just a reaction. And then he gets out of the car and he's, you know, he's not blaming anyone. He's not blaming himself, but he's not blaming anyone. He's just saying it's Constantine effect, which he's right in doing so. But because he is the driver that crashed, he is at fault. So I think it's just journalists and social media just kind of
trying to make
it a lot worse.
A big
and
storm.
I think if it was a different driver,
mm-hmm.
they still would have got the, not necessarily the attack, but they would have been held accountable,
mm-hmm.
told it was their fault, but wouldn't be getting the hate the Lance Stroll
gets. Because Lance has already got so much against him anyway. One
he had a target on his back as soon as he entered the sport,
exactly.
Regardless of how well he does.
Any little mistake, people are going to come for him. Mm. But then it's still the question of, okay, yes, he gets all this unnecessary, or maybe too much hate, maybe not unnecessary because people have their opinions, but it's time and time again we're seeing these mistakes. Would Lewis Hamilton have made that mistake, perhaps? Would a different driver have made that mistake? Would they have maybe, done a little bump, same Ricardo, nothing you can do, but just not at such a high impact. So then that's why it falls so negatively on Stroll. But it is unfortunate. I did feel bad for him, because when it happened, I thought, oh no. All the hate that's coming his way is going to be strong.
Yeah.
And loads of people said a lot, and obviously Ricardo itself. Mm-hmm. Ricardo, poor thing. Another awful race for him. Mm-hmm. He has to retire. He's got this ticking time bomb on his back from the team saying, you need to perform well, otherwise see you later, you're gone.
Yep.
I just felt awful for him again. It's not his fault. It was just a misfortunate event.
Yeah, this one fully. Last race, you could say 50-50 on both drivers. Albon shouldn't have gone for it. Ricardo should have been, you know, paid more attention. But this time, fully, you know, nothing he could have done. I think it was kind of shafted by strategy as well.
Yeah.
I was really confused because everyone boxed under the safety car and he would have been on older tyres and would have literally just been swallowed up by everybody anyway. So I was a bit kind of like, okay, what are they doing here? So I don't know how his race would have played out anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I would have liked to have seen how it would have done, because he'd been performing really well. And Yuki has had him in his back pocket so far this season.
Yeah.
But Daniel Ricciardo changed the tides this weekend and was definitely the better driver for RB, and showing the Daniel Ricciardo that we need to see more of in order for, one, him to keep a seat.
Yeah.
But also to show Red Bull that, look, there is another option here. Mm-hmm. Get me back in that seat. So he needs more performances like that for the rest of the season. Totally. Yuki, not as strong of a race this weekend. He also got wiped out, got Kevin Magnussen. Nico Rosberg as a commentator. Sometimes I'm like, oh, this is painful to listen to,
mm-hmm.
because Crofty would like throw to him And it happened once. He's literally going through the order and then he's throwing to Nico Rosberg kind of take over and talk about, like, as a driver's point of view. And it was just silent for like a good 20 seconds.
Yeah.
And then Crofty comes back in again. But then there's other moments where Rosberg's stuff is just like, Kevin Magnussen, what are you doing?
Yeah, he's
like,
very honest.
He's
as a
very
commentator.
Honest, doesn't hold back. Yeah. And I like that. I do like that because I think with Sky Sports, you do sometimes get a little bit of English bias. And that's understandable because it is an English broadcast. But because it's an English broadcast that's also broadcasted worldwide, it becomes a bit of an issue.
Well, I also think they're trying to be neutral, but you're a commentator, so you need to say what's happening and be honest. But they're so neutral, they're not saying the full...
But they should be neutral, but they're not because it's a British broadcast.
Yeah.
So because it's a British broadcast to, you know, a lot of Sky F1 is broadcasted to the homes. It's everybody in the UK. It's the only way to watch F1 in the UK.
Yeah.
So there is going to be a little bit of lean towards the majority of drivers that people are probably going to be supporting in the UK. That's perfectly fine. But because it's obviously broadcasted also on the world feed sometimes, then it's a bit like, okay, you need that neutrality. And Rosberg kind of brings that and also brings that, I don't care what I'm going to say, I'm going to slam on every single driver here and I'm going to pull up for their mistakes, but also gives a really good insight towards drivers.
A driver perspective.
Yeah, and sympathy towards drivers. Like that whole Constantine effect when Stroll went into the back. He doesn't do the same that he did with Magnussen, go, what the hell is Stroll doing? Like he's just driven into the back of him. He's like, oh, that's just really unfortunate. That is just a Constantine effect and they've all just piled up and Stroll's just not been paying attention. But I love the Magnussen one. It's just like, what is he doing? Yuki's left him so much room. That's far too aggressive. He's wiped him out. Poor Yuki.
I know, I felt so awful for Yuki. But then again, going back to Daniel Ricciardo, do you think that the penalty was a bit too harsh? Because he's out of the race, so they can't give him a 10-second penalty. So it's going to go on to Miami. He's got a 3-grid place penalty.
I mean, if you're overtaken under safety car, I haven't seen the actual incident. I hear that it was because he was overtaken anyway and then was re-overtaking under safety car. So I don't know. If it's something like that, then it's a bit of a confusing one for sure. But rules are rules. If you break them, you break them. I think a lot of people are more outraged that he's got more of a severe penalty than Lance got for his incident, in a sense.
Which you think is worse because it wiped someone completely out of the race. But yeah, I guess the rules are the rules. And then Logan Sargeant got one as well for another incident under the safety car overtaking Hülkenberg. So
that one was so on the limit as well because I saw that one.
Thrown out.
That was the safety car line, which is literally not quite the full exit of the white line on the pit lane. It's as the pit lane kind of is alongside the track. And they literally cross that white line. It's like one front wing's over, one front wing's touching. So it's very minuscule. And as Sargeant comes around the corner carrying more speed, swoops around, gets in front and thinks, okay, I've got the position. So the team really needs to be like, yeah, sorry, mate, you kind of need to give that back. But then again, it's one of those things that like, they were giving positions back under safety car and then other drivers got penalties. So they need to sort that out. And I think something else they need to sort out, speaking of safety cars, is bringing out the safety car.
Yes. That way too
was
long.
Ridiculous.
Bottas just chilling on the side, putting the steering wheel, like taking it off.
Flying down that straight. And we, the reason the virtual safety car was brought in was because of the whole Jules Bianchi incident, like driving under double wave yellows. Okay, it's a different scenario because it was wet then and he aquaplaned. You know, it's a horrible, horrible situation. Yeah. We're in the dry. Okay, drivers should have more control fully, but it's just that extra literally layer of safety that you have to protect everybody involved, not just Bottas, because then there's marshals on the track trying to move it and it's stuck in first gear and they can't get it going. So I think the virtual safety car could have come out straight away. Like, as soon as there's a car stuck at the end of a long straight, a runoff area, virtual safety car.
So if you're going to bring it out anyway, why wait so long? Yeah. If it's going to come out, I know they're trying to decide whether bringing out the actual car is the right decision, but we know it's the right decision. However, there was a debate on this as well. Some people are like, you know, Bottas was in a clear area, a car's most likely not going to run over and, you know, hit into him or anything or hit into the marshals. But then the other people, obviously, like us, I think we agree, it's that extra safety. It's just in case anything goes wrong. You never know what's going to happen.
It's not just for the driver. The driver can just sit in his car, strapped in, wait till he gets an all clear. Because if somebody then hits him at a normal speed, he's going to be decent because he is fully strapped in.
Yeah.
Those cars are so super safe, right? But it's not just the driver. The driver can quickly get out of the car, run away. Yes, there's still an danger of that. But then you've got marshals on the track. Now, these marshals aren't paid. They're just volunteers and our sport wouldn't run without them. And we need to protect these people as much as possible. We don't want to put them in the line of danger. So yeah, virtual safety cars should have come out. Like, you know, okay, there can be a little bit of a delay to discuss and just be like, you know, how is the car? Is it moving? Can we get it going? No, okay, cool. But it was like a couple of laps, like a lap and a half. No.
You've got everyone on Twitter, like, where is the safety car? Yeah. Why is it still virtual?
That fans can, I know it's a different perspective with fans. We're not in that box. We're not making those decisions. And maybe there's other things involved in it that takes it longer. But when you've got everybody, and it happens so many times, I see it on social media, where it's like, oh, this should be a virtual safety car. Where's the safety car? Where's the red flag? You know, this is going to be a red flag. The fact that sometimes fans can call it before it's going to happen is a bit like, maybe it needs to be a little bit quicker. We saw it, of course, with the George Russell situation in Australia. Now, I think they, you know, to bring out the red flag straight away, it made no difference because the delta time's going to be the same, although there'd be a bit more of an urgency from a driver to be like, okay, something serious has happened if a red flag is thrown. But that needs to happen, obviously, a lot sooner rather than just like, oh, double wave yellows will do for a bit. Yeah, okay, no, do you know what? We will throw a virtual safety car or a safety car.
Well, I think if a driver's in the middle of the track like that, whether the car is the right way or upside down or whatever on the side, automatic red flag. I think just for that safety, even it's like, oh, maybe we didn't need that. That was too unnecessary. It was too, like, overly cautious. You can't be overly cautious, I think, in this sport at all. You know, it's a very dangerous sport. No. You got to do it. But let's chat about Alonso. I think now, well, actually, I've been thinking this for a while, get him in a different car. He is amazing. He shows what he can do in the Aston Martin. He has had a great weekend, really. Would have been nicer to see him a little bit higher. But he's fantastic. And we all know he's a great driver's experience. You know, he's an amazing driver. Please, could someone else just pick him up? That's what I was thinking. I know he's staying with Aston Martin again. Correct decision, because no other better seats available to him. Is the Mercedes going to be better? We don't know. I would love to see him in a Red Bull.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see him in a Red Bull as well. I'd love to see that partnership, him and Max, go head to head.
Amazing.
For Max or Alonso, it's make or break. Whoever comes out on top out of that rivalry is like, okay, you should be considered in the question for the greatest driver ever, for sure, because it's two incredible talents at different ends of their career going head to head, which would be incredible to see. But I don't know whether that would ever happen, sadly. I think Alonso's kind of locked in now so long term. But Alonso's Alonso. If he wants to get out of it, you know, so if they've got a contract for after and just like you can be an ambassador of Aston Martin for many, many years to come. But then if Red Bull comes knocking and they've got an incredible car from 2026 onwards as well, you'd be like, yeah, I don't really want to be an ambassador. I'm going to go drink Red Bull for the rest of my life. Get me in that car. So
I pray to the gods up there, if there is one, please, can you get Fernando Alonso to a Red Bull seat at some point?
Or just a top team seat.
Whoever's leading at that time.
He definitely deserves it. Has the pace, still has the talent. You know, he's an old driver for, you know, Formula One, but he's still got it. And he just keeps on going for years to come. And I'm excited to sort of see him do well. I think, you know, I look at him and I think he deserves a better car. I look at Lewis Hamilton. I would love to see him in that Ferrari because that Mercedes is dreadful. Oh my God.
Bit of a stinker for Lewis Hamilton. Well, towards the end of the weekend, it was a stinker.
He had a good qualifying. I'm still unsure about the reinstating of the lap. I understand why the lap was reinstated and it shouldn't have been penalised in the first place. But I think that, you know, Lewis has then been told, cool, you're safe. You've got pole position.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh yeah, by the way, actually, you know, Lando's lap's been reinstated. Then he stopped pushing on his lap. Whether he would have beaten Lando or not, we'll never know. It was a mighty lap from Lando, so hard chance that he probably wouldn't. But still, you never know. But yeah, great qualifying in the sprint qualifying. And then also really good job in the sprint race to get Lando at the start. You know, put him on the outside, put him on the dirty stuff. And Lando sadly
great move from Hamilton.
Crumbled a little bit.
And then we see Max Verstappen.
Yeah, and then Max just becomes
creeping
Max.
Up. Yeah. They're telling him, you know, Lewis, Max is behind you. He's like, I know he's behind me. Nothing he can do.
He thought about defending it a little bit, and it was like,
actually,
yeah, this is never going to work, is it?
Yeah, this is not 2021 anymore. Can't do anything about it. That Red Bull is a rocket. Every driver makes some sort of comment each race of like, what was it, Lance Stroll a few weeks ago? And then everyone's like, wow, that Red Bull is just ridiculous. You know, Lewis knows that there's no chance he's going to fight off the Red Bull. But it's still nice to see some sort of battle between them. I think Lewis did have a strong weekend at the start and it's showing everyone again.
Yeah,
I am a great driver. I've not lost it. You know, I'm not a seven-time world champion for no reason.
Yeah, yeah.
This car is very difficult. But he definitely made a mistake by changing the setup after. Not leave it? If the car's performing well, why would you change it?
I don't think there was much to sort of like worry about, because obviously, if you think about it, quali was wet. Sprint quali was wet. That throws in so many variables that can change things so quickly. It's all about being on the right tyres at the right time, mm-hmm. being able to tackle the car through the wet. It's a massive equaliser, and it's not necessarily, the cars aren't as much of an importance. It's about driver feel and putting your car in the right place and also having the confidence to really push in those conditions as much as possible. Sprint, he's starting at the front. He gets Lando at the front, and then he's able to, I think the Merc is better in race trim. It's still not great, mm-hmm. but it's better than maybe like the Aston Martin that struggles a bit more with their tyre wear. I don't think it was set up. He made a mistake. He made a mistake into the last sector. That's what it was. He locked up into the last sector, made a mistake. That's what got knocked out in Q1. And then, you know, he still managed to recover to P9 in the race, which I think is probably like the best that they could have done from that position. He's 3 places behind George Russell, 1 second behind Oscar Piastri, who did have damage, to be fair. He is 20 seconds off of George Russell, but he's recovered to P9. And I think, yeah, that is the best that they probably could have done.
But then is his mistake so bad that it left him out of Q1 and P18? Like, was it so bad that the cars, you know, in front, that a lot of them, we've seen the Mercedes is always, you know, maybe from anywhere between 6th and P11, let's say. It sits somewhere nicely within that mm-hmm. range. So awful to get to P18 just for that. All the other teams were just on top form that weekend.
Nah, 6 tenths. If you lose 6 tenths, you might as well say goodbye. Like 6 tenths for... If Max loses 6 tenths, it'd probably just about be safe.
Well, yeah, he can get away with it in that car.
Can be separated. We've seen it sometimes in qualifying where it's about a second. Mm-hmm. So if you lose 6 tenths, that's a lot. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of time lost, especially for a team that's kind of like the mid car.
Yeah.
Like, Merc is mid this season.
They're not even in the top end.
In the middle.
Yeah.
So to lose all that time, especially in qualifying, yeah, of course you're going to get knocked down Q1.
Well, Nico Rosberg had a lot to say about it. And people like to pick up on this, don't they? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, it's Nico still being jealous of Hamilton. When asked his opinion, obviously he said it is Hamilton's mistake completely. Mm-hmm. He did say it's nothing to do with the setup changes. Yeah. However, you know, is Nico Rosberg's comment more credible because being a driver, but then there's a lot of people debating that of Nico doesn't know what changes like fully have been made. He's not there with the team, mm-hmm. so he doesn't really have enough information to say that. But I guess people are leaning more towards the setup really has nothing to do with it. And Hamilton has obviously came out and said the pace just is not there in that Mercedes at all. But I think he still did well to get from P18 to P9. It's still quite a good drive from him.
Yeah, it's just driver mentality.
All the DNFs.
It's an athlete's mentality and the way that they come across to the media. And it's a mix of, you know, being PR trained and not really giving much away, mm-hmm. you know. But you also don't ridicule yourself, because if you do, then it's clear to everybody else that you're in a bad mindset. You know, you clearly have not got the confidence in yourself, let alone the car. Like, not having the confidence in the car, that's one thing, okay? But not having confidence in yourself anymore, saying, oh yeah, I'm bad, I'm terrible, I'm this. That means that you're in a negative mindset anyway, and your career's pretty much done. It's very difficult to get out of that kind of bubble where you're fully against yourself. So for any athlete, and you see this all the time, no athlete ever really, you know, they hold their hands up sometimes and say, I made a mistake.
Yeah.
But they never say, yeah, no, I was awful today, or that was a very bad performance mm-hmm. from me, blah, blah, blah. Sometimes it might be like, yeah, it wasn't the greatest, made a mistake here or there. But yeah, you
just
never
very
see.
Very vague, isn't it?
Very vague, just to keep that confidence up. And that's all it is.
Yeah. Well, I honestly think it's been quite a good weekend of racing. Maybe just not the last day, but
IndyCar
again,
was better.
There was still enough. Well, Hayden.
IndyCar was a lot of fun.
What would you rate this? I say Grand Prix weekend because I just don't think you can say Grand Prix as in like the Sunday race. I think, what are you rating this whole...
The whole weekend.
Chaos, drama, fire, wind, air, earth, everything. What are you rating it?
I think a seven. Yeah. I think it was above average. Not like, oh my God, this is blown my mind.
Yeah.
No, but like above average. Yeah, it was good. It was all right.
Yeah, I can see that. 7 out of 10, you're giving it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm going to go with an 8 because of the sprint race. I think the sprint race really elevated it. But what are your opinions on sprint race before we end this section?
I need to wait till we see it in Miami
okay,
to get a full judgment. Mm-hmm. One, because it'll be a much better time and I'll be fully awake and focused. but secondly, because I don't think you can judge anything off of one factor.
Yeah.
I think you need more, it's like any sort of scientist experiment. Mm-hmm. You need
more data.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. More data. My mind went blank. I'm still tired. More data to get you an actual conclusion, an actual opinion. So yeah. We'll wait till after Miami and we'll have a better assessment.
Yeah, then we can say. I feel like my only one comment about sprint races is the good side is more drama, more action on track, of course, more interesting than practice. The bad side is if someone has a damage, that's unless they can save it, that's a massive hindrance to the race going forward. So then is it worth it just for a few extra points here and there?
Yeah, I mean, it's always going to be an issue, but that's an issue throughout the whole weekend, you know, free practice, free qualifying, you know, any sort of bit of damage and you're going to ruin yourself. I think why the sprint race was good this weekend was because there was unpredictability, there was a mixed up grid, and it made an exciting sprint race. So I think it just pushes more that we need to stop allowing the teams to all fully decide and have more of a majority vote rather than all teams agree and have reverse sprint race grids, because it will make things exciting wouldn't spoil, because that's the problem. If we have a normal dry weekend, Max qualifies on pole for the sprint and it's the same grid and then he wins the race. And then the next day, we get exactly the same thing, just double the length of the race. Mm-hmm. So if you have a sprint race, you at least get more action, a bit of unpredictability, better chances for other drivers possible. So I think that would be the better way, but we're never going to get that because Formula One only does things if every team agrees.
Yeah.
And Red Bull are never going to agree to that.
No chance. Well, we'll review after Miami. Hayden, I think we should let the viewers know about what we do at the beginning of each podcast. It's a little anecdote that we like to talk about food and what we have for breakfast, don't we? As our little mic set up, check if the mics are working.
We're always talking about food. We ask each other what we had for breakfast to make sure we're talking at a normal level, to get the test of our microphones and make sure they're all working fine for your lovely ears. So we have a lot of conversations about food. We understand that we both live lives that we're on the move quite a lot and we struggle to find the time sometimes to make good, enjoyable food. For myself, I get a lot of fast food on the way back because it's just quick and easy. But recently we've been dipping into something new.
We have. So we've started our HelloFresh journey. So if you don't know what HelloFresh is, it's a recipe kit delivery service. And it just makes it easier for you to cook like delicious food, affordable food, because the prices start from £3.15. So when you're on the go, me and Hayden do lots of driving. 1 minute we're in this location, the next minute we're in this location. We get home, we're tired. We want to cook something that, you know, is feel good, it's wholesome, it's not food that's probably going to make you feel not great. So HelloFresh is perfect for that because there's loads of different recipes on there. You can choose what you want, and I'm not a good cook. So I think, Hayden, you're probably a better cook than me, to be honest. I'm not the best cook at all. So if you go on the website, it shows you like the difficulty level. It breaks down the recipe. You order what you want, and then the ingredients come over to your house. So when I'm on the motorway, I know I'm going to be late. I can also go on the app, change the delivery time. I'm always late. On the what's the London motorway now? I always get mixed
M25, up. M25, is that what you're
the on about? M25, see, I'm from Liverpool. So on the M25, there's always delays. We're always shooting, you know, quite late. And then I'm stuck and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I need to change my delivery. It's so easy to do on the app as well. So HelloFresh is perfect for me because I know what I want to eat. I know how long it's going to take. Then me and my partner can cook it together. Easy, less stress then.
I hate shopping for food because I take far too long in there. I waste 2 hours of my day sometimes. I'm like, how have I spent 2 hours there? I also get drawn into buying things that I didn't go in there for in the first place, which means that most likely I'm going to be wasting food. And that's what I love about HelloFresh, that you get all the ingredients you get delivered are the exact quantity that you need for the meals you're going to be preparing for the week. So you can set, for example, me and my partner, we have a meal for two people every night. So we have enough ingredients there for two people every night, and it's perfect. I don't have to worry about preparing all the ingredients and getting the right amounts. I can come home from a late shoot, get home, everything's there, just have to pick it out of the bag, put it on the table, and then you have some amazing instructions in front of you that very clearly and very easily detail it out for you. And it takes, some of the meals take 15-20 minutes. You can select from a wide variety of menus and meals that you can pick and choose from. And yeah, you know, for me, I love to grab the 15 to 20 minute makes because it's just so much simple.
Easy.
So easy.
Exactly.
Great.
So when we do our mic checks, now it's, Hayden, what HelloFresh food have you been eating today? But it is a lot better. You know, you want to reach for just more wholesome food. So definitely I'd recommend anyone that wants to start this journey, do not hesitate at all. So if you visit hellofresh.co.uk/WTF1, you can pick your plan and use our code WTF1 to get 60% off your first box and 25% off your next 2 months. And Hayden's favourite part, free dessert.
Hell
life.
Yeah, that's
who
what I
love. Doesn't want that? But customers who cancelled at least 12 months ago are eligible for this discount code too. So use our code WTF1 to start your HelloFresh journey today. It's time to get into some hot takes where you at home send us your spicy Formula One hot takes and Hayden and I rate them. So Hayden, are you ready to get into the first hot take?
I'm Chinese scared Grand Prix. For what everyone at home has got for us today. We're going to be debating a lot and we're going to have to try and stick to not waffling this time.
Yes.
So I'll try my best.
Short,
no tangents,
succinct.
Okay. No promises for me.
Well, probably not because they're quite spicy.
Oh, given to me. Come on.
Well, I've had a look at some of them. So the first one is from Conform Citizen, and they say Lando Norris will end up in Mercedes eventually and lead them to a championship someday.
Okay.
I quite like this hot take. I don't know how spicy it is already, but we'll see after our little debate. I see this happening if Mercedes come back to be in a top team.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I don't think so. I think Lando's right to stay in McLaren.
Yeah.
I don't see a Ferrari seat opening up anytime soon. I don't see him going to Red Bull. I don't know why, because he's a great driver and I don't understand why Red Bull wouldn't want him. But I really just do not see that happening at all.
Red Bull would pick him up if Max leaves. I feel like if Max just goes, do you know what? I want to go to endurance racing now, GT racing. I'm bored of this. Mm-hmm. I want to go have fun again. He would go over there. Or if he wants to go to another team, then they would pick up Lando. They keep on dropping hints. They're like, oh yeah, Lando's a great talent. Yeah. Want to pick him up for sure.
But I just don't
Merck,
see
though.
It.
Merck. Are you mad? Mercedes are in the mud compared to McLaren, right?
This person's
they use
thinking
the
of the
same
past.
Engine and McLaren are beating the works team using the same engine. Aston Martin are beating the works team using the same engine. Mercedes is not a good option. I think a lot of people base it off of 2026 go,
that's
engine
exactly
regulations, who was good at the last engine regulations. Yeah. Just because you do something once doesn't mean you're going to be good all the time. Everyone said exactly the same thing about Honda when they came back into the sport.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, okay, Honda's a good engine now. You know, they helped Red Bull win the title from 2021 onwards. But before that, you know, 2015, for example, when they came into it, oh my God, they were dreadful. They were awful. All the hype, and it was just, you know, absolutely nothing.
This is clearly the 2026 optimism.
Yeah,
speaking,
yeah.
Which I think a lot of people, maybe
like
myself,
person,
you know, are thinking, that's going to happen in 2026.
I feel like this person is more of a Mercedes fan than a Lando Norris fan. Because I think if you're a Lando Norris fan, you go, please stay at McLaren because they're a much better team right now. You're getting second place, whereas George and Lewis are struggling to barely break the top five.
Mm-hmm.
So please stay at McLaren for the time being. They look like a better option right now.
But then not championship worthy.
Well, McLaren?
That's the vibe I'm getting from Conform Citizen here.
I think
a lot of people.
I think anyone's
don't
not championship contention apart from Red Bull.
I think people genuinely, and I don't know if I find myself in this situation either, but they just see Mercedes, Ferrari, Red Bull.
Yeah.
And even doesn't matter when these teams get better. For example, let's just throw Alpine.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say they have an amazing car the next few years. They've got these rules and regulation changes to a T. Mm-hmm. The car's amazing. And then they're championship worthy.
Yeah.
Could happen, but people just don't see it happening. So I think for a while, it's like the next 5 years, it's either going to be Ferrari, Red Bull, if Mercedes can get back because they've got that pass there to show them they were in a good place, they're a strong team, they know what to do. But is McLaren in there? Could be, but people just aren't.
Yeah, I think it's just more like
recency
or era where bias, where you...
The past few.
Yeah, where you look at things on the last 10 years. Let's take 2015 to 2025. I know we're not quite there yet, but it's sort of the same sort of era. Soon. You look at the top three teams, Ferrari, Mercedes, Red Bull, completely fair. 10 years before that, you know, you go from 2005 to 2015. Who were the teams that people would consider the top three? Red Bull, Ferrari, McLaren.
Mm-hmm.
McLaren were in there.
Yeah.
So the McLaren have been a top team before.
In the past,
there's no reason why they can't be a top team again. There's no reason why we couldn't get 2026. And things could change drastically.
Yeah.
You know, who knows? Haas you know, Aston Martin, Alpine could be our top three. Probably highly unlikely.
Yeah.
Probably not going to happen.
But you never know.
Things can change. Quite quickly in that sort of sense. So to say, oh, Mercedes is the only way you can win a championship, you have to go to Ferrari, Mercedes. No, I think McLaren looking good at the moment. Mm-hmm. They're third best team, I'd say, at the moment. Ferrari had a bit of a weak weekend at China, but I'd say they're still, you know, third best team, but they're better than Mercedes and they're better than Aston Martin right now. So if you're going to bank on any team to go to out of those three outside of the top two teams, you go to McLaren.
You'd say stay in McLaren.
Yeah. Don't go Merck.
Yeah, it's definitely a difficult one because I do see Mercedes coming back at some point. Yeah. I don't know when it is, if it is 2026 or later or next year. I don't know. Let's see if a miracle happens. But I see what they're saying. I do agree with them slightly. Well, not just Mercedes. It's Red Bull and Ferrari. I'm throwing everyone in there, the top teams. But Mercedes aren't a top team anymore, but you know. So I just don't see McLaren. I just don't see them doing it, but that's just me putting a pessimistic spin on it. Like you say, it could. So I'm going to rate this hot take. I'm going to say a 3. Okay. It's right in the middle. I don't think it's not spicy enough that it's a 1 or a 2 because there's enough to debate there. People are going to agree or people are not going to agree. So it's smack bang in the middle for me.
1. Delusion.
Hayden, he does not see this happening. He's saying, stay in McLaren.
The fact that you can say Mercedes is a better option than McLaren, looking at the state of the teams right now.
Well, I guess they're saying someday.
Yeah, I mean, someday Haas might be good. You know, it might be a better option for a championship.
I'd be all for that.
That's a bit too far, but still, you know, I don't see it.
Okay, so you're rating it a 1?
A 1.
Not super spicy.
I think apart from Mercedes fans, everybody's going to be like, what? What are you chanting?
I am a Mercedes fan. Maybe that's why my bias is coming in. I'm a Ferrari fan and a Haas fan and, you know, all the teams.
Steak as well, but judging by the hat?
No, I'm wearing steak today because I'm supporting Joe.
Okay, that's
fair. I'm supporting Joe.
I'm here for that.
That moment at the end of the Grand Prix, it really warmed my heart. So I thought, you know what, for the Chinese Grand Prix and all of that,
love that.
I'm repping steak. So speaking of steak,
okay,
the next hot take is from Team Joe Fan, and they say Joe will be retained for at least another year by Sauber, Steak or Kick or whatever you want.
I sure hope so.
You want it.
Yeah,
I want
otherwise
it.
I can't make TikToks and Instagram reels saying play with no. I love that man. I think he's one of the other people that I've met on the F1 grid. I think everyone's been very nice, but he gave a lot of time to us when we interviewed him, and then even after stayed and chatted with us, and then, you know, has made the effort, you know, just drop me messages, be like, want to play the game, and you know, he's always
humble.
I just think he's a very really nice guy, really down to earth guy, and I think it's very difficult not to get along with him, so I wish him all the best. And so I have a bit of bias there in that sort
just
of sense.
Just a little, but rightly so, I think.
He's a great guy, and I do think that he's doing a good job in that team. I think qualifying is his biggest weakness compared to Bottas, but Bottas has always been a really strong qualifier.
And a more experienced driver.
And
so
a more experienced driver as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do hope that he is, of course, retained by Stake for sure.
I think he will be because he is a good driver. There's definitely improvements, but he's showing, you know, he's not like irrational. I don't think we ever really see that from Joe. Maybe at times he could be a little bit more aggressive, but you either learn that by making so many mistakes like we do see with other drivers, or you learn that by taking maybe the slower approach. It's just, okay, where can I push? I might find this in the next few years. I'm not going to just bash into everyone and just try and overtake in corners where I can't overtake and just cause
catastrophe. You haven't seen him race online. Jesus.
Well,
that man.
Online might be a different story.
That man sends it into other drivers and blames them.
That's where he knows how to do it. He's like, I can't do this in my real day job, so I'll just do it online. I think they'll keep him as well because, you know, he's the only Chinese driver on the grid. And it's nice to have that, you know, like that nationality to back up when it's the Chinese Grand Prix. You know, it brings a lot. The fans had so much support for him in this race. He got emotional at the end, rightly so. They left a nice little spot for him. I think, you know, when a driver brings a lot, like with Perez and the Mexican Grand Prix, you've got that attachment there, which is good for a team to have also. So I think that's another reason. It's not just him being a good driver and they believe in him. It's everything else he brings to the table as well.
I think having a Chinese Grand Prix, I don't think that's a reason why somebody should get a seat, is because they are a different nationality.
You've got to be good.
And it brings diversity in that sort of sense. It shouldn't be a reason why. But I think it helps for him to be able to have that backing. You know, to be the only Chinese driver means that sponsors from China are going to be fully behind him and pushing him and trying to support him and trying to help him in his career.
Yeah.
And that's always going to help, especially with a team like Stake, maybe even a team like Haas in the future as well, where money is an issue for those teams and they would love to have big sponsors come on board and help them out. And Zhou hopefully can certainly bring that for sure. But he also comes with, I think, a very mature head on him in terms of a driver.
Definitely.
I think, as you said, he doesn't, he's not somebody who gets caught up in incidents, not somebody who's smashing the car up every week.
You don't see him angry. No. He's quite composed.
Yeah, very composed. And I think, I think they have a good driver in him. And I think it's always good to have a reliable driver. You know, we saw with Haas before when they had Mazepin and Schumacher. Now, Schumacher was obviously the better driver, but there were still those incidents and those errors and those inconsistencies with him. Whereas, you know, if Stake take on Hülkenberg, like that's the rumours that they want to take on Hülkenberg and Sainz as their pairing for the future for then Audi when they come in, you know, I think Zhou could be a really good replacement to step into the Haas team if they don't want to take on a rookie like Ollie Bearman.
Yeah, I think that could be actually a good seat for him. I didn't think about it really beforehand. I thought, you know, let him stay within Stake for a little bit longer and obviously transfer over to Audi maybe, but then Sainz might be coming in. There's this whole thing around it. But that could be a good option for him. So what are you going to rate this hot take then, Hayden?
I fully believe it.
Are you going to rate
spicy though? No, it's not spicy because I think everybody should believe this. Everybody should be behind my man. And so I'm going to put a 2.
So if you're not, what are you doing?
Yeah, how dare you? Joe? I now dislike you massively.
Everyone needs
everyone's
a
allowed
steak
their opinion
as well.
And that's perfect.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's not spicy. I think most people will agree with this hot take. So I'm going to give it a 3 again. Neutral. Mm-hmm. Are you ready for the last hot take?
Bring it to me.
Hayden, you're not going to be very happy.
Why is it now?
I think
what
you might
you
know
for
why.
Me?
So we know that Hayden is a big Stroll fan.
Yeah.
So this one is from Nuff Aguirre. I hope I'm saying that correctly. They say that Stroll shouldn't be in F1 anymore. The man never takes blame because he knows his dad will save him.
Right. Spicy. Do they understand the name of the show? It's called Hot Takes. I'm pretty sure everybody on Twitter agrees. I think I'm the only person who disagrees with the Stroll slander. So straight away, it's a zero. It's a zero because everyone agrees. They're going to be like, yep, I agree with that.
Get him out of F1.
We want those ones with the gif with all the swords pointing at Flynn Rider from Tangled. That's not that.
No, do you know what? I think it's like, it's medium spice, this one, automatically, because you will have people supporting Lance Stroll, like
five of
yourself.
Us. Yeah, there's about 5 of us in the
maybe
world.
Maybe a small population, but you will have people supporting.
Half that's his family.
We can't add in the family in that.
Back to 5.
So for this one, Hayden, it's difficult because Lance Stroll, I don't believe that he'd be in F1 if he was like an awful, awful, awful driver. Mm-hmm. We've seen good drives from Lance Stroll in his career. So he has shown that he has got the talent. But unfortunately, he makes too many mistakes. We speak about this quite a bit, where is that because he has the backing of his dad, that he relaxes too much? He doesn't push himself. Again, he knows if he makes a mistake, nothing's going to happen. He's going to stay in the team. But then that must make it quite difficult for the team around him. They're like, oh, we can't say anything because our boss is his dad. But he needs to get his act together. So it is difficult. Would I like to see him out of F1? Yes. I'd like to see him out of F1.
You tried to pause that to spare me any blushes, but you're do you know what, actually? Screw Hayden. Yes.
I'm trying to be quite soft because I know he gets a lot of hate. And like we saw in the Chinese Grand Prix, he did make a mistake. We've had a bit of debate about this, but just to reiterate your opinion, you do think, you know, yes, he made a mistake, but he's not fully for blame on the safety car incident.
I agree he's to blame because he is the driver that made contact. As soon as you make contact, of course you're to blame. Nobody else made a collision. I think, you know, where Hülkenberg positioned his car, where you can you're sort of just outside, you're not directly behind the car in front, you're kind of to the right a little bit. So he can see what's going on ahead and I'm like, oh, I can react and I can turn away out of that. Stroll being positioned, we can all see it on the TV pod. Oh, everyone's hitting the brakes. They should be able to come to a stop. When you're in that driver's seat, you can't see what's happening behind in front of the car in front of you.
Yeah.
So if they slam on the brakes, there's a little bit of time. He's not looking in the right place. He's not paying attention. It's a mistake from him. And that's what it is. It's a mistake. A mistake should be punished.
Yeah.
You still get a penalty for making a mistake. I don't think people should be coming for him in the hateful way to be like, oh, he's purposely done that. He's taken out my driver. How dare he?
Yeah.
You know, I understand the debates of people saying he doesn't deserve a seat, and that's your opinion, and that's perfectly fine. I would never, ever say you're completely wrong about that.
Yeah.
I like him as a driver. I'd say I defend him as a driver because I like to think of the human element in that sort of sense. I hate when people are so disrespectful on social media and they just go, and I'm going to write something really hateful because I'm protected because I'm behind my laptop and they're never going to see me. Yeah. Where you would never say that to somebody's face. I've been in this industry long enough to be dealing with that sort of stuff to a small level, mm-hmm. let alone have a million people
scale.
That are against you every single week. That must be horrible to go into. So I always want to defend someone in that sort of situation because I'm just like, think about the human element, okay? Yeah. Think before you write to you. Be critical, perfectly fine. But hateful? No, come on. There's no need for that sort of thing. Yes, I do understand people saying that he shouldn't be in F1 anymore, and I can understand that. And if he were to be removed from that seat, I'd accept it. I wouldn't be like, this is the wrong decision. Mm-hmm. I would accept it because mistakes have crept in. I do think he's a very strong driver at times. You know, he's pole position in Turkey in terrible conditions. You know, a terrible driver is not going to be, you wouldn't see Mazepin doing that. Yeah. You know, he's got podiums before, he's mm-hmm. an F3 champion as well. So there is talent there.
Yeah.
It's a very rough diamond. You know, there's a lot of inconsistencies, a lot of mistakes. And we have spoken about it before that I think if he was in a different team mm-hmm. with pressure on him, I think he would have that kick up the arse to improve himself and to maybe work that little bit harder to become that better driver. Mm-hmm. So I do believe that because his dad owns the team and there's a little bit of that parachute, that comfortability.
There's no pressure on him.
That it's, oh, it's okay. I've made a mistake. It's all right. You know, not taking accountability, as I've said before, I said it in the podcast, you know, as a sports person, as an athlete, you don't come out and say, I'm terrible.
Yeah.
I'm the worst driver here. Because what is the point? What's
that going
to solve?
You're going to maneuver it in a way where you take accountability, but not too much to say that you're awful.
Yeah, you explain the situation sport. That, oh, it's just one of those racing incidents.
Yeah.
You know, you don't come out and say, oh, it was fully my fault. I'm an idiot. I'm the worst driver, which everybody puts, obviously, on social media. So, yeah, I think a lot of people will agree with this hot take, and that's why it's a zero, because it's not even spicy.
Not spicy for Hayden.
Not spicy at all, because everyone agrees with it. I do think that there's a good driver there. He's inconsistent. And if he were to iron out those mistakes, I think people would then be like, because so many times when he has a good performance, I see on Twitter go, well, actually, Stroll's actually pretty decent.
Yeah.
And
well, we had that chat and I was like, oh, he actually did really well. He really impressed me today.
But they're not often enough. Yeah. I think that's the problem for a lot of people. But I think as soon as there's a pay driver that comes in, somebody who's rich and somebody who has backing, nobody's had backing for a while like Lance Stroll has, where their dad owns the team. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you have something like that, like as soon as he came into the sport, everyone hated him. He's had that for his whole career.
That's why I think he needs to move to a different series for however long, short amount mm-hmm. of time or a long amount of time, not affiliated with his family, his dad, nothing. And then you can see from there, okay, obviously it depends on what the series is, but is he still a talented driver, as we have seen in the past, but now he relaxes a little bit too much because of his dad? Once he does that, he builds his reputation back up again.
Yep.
People go, oh, he actually is a really good driver. He doesn't need his dad to run something to keep him there. So potentially opens a door, if the dad obviously still owns Aston Martin or a different team or whatever that is, for him to come back in. He still has the backing of his dad, but he's proved to everyone else that I deserve to be in Formula One. It's not just because my dad's going to look after me. But I do think he makes way too many mistakes right now. No one's going to give him a chance.
I think it's a hard... It's also the fact that he's up against someone like Alonso. And I say this all the time, that I regard Alonso as up there as one of the greatest drivers that Formula One's ever produced. Incredibly unlucky or maybe unintelligent of making the right contract decisions and going to the right teams.
Yeah.
Fernando Alonso and Sebastian Vettel, I think, are polar opposites, in which Fernando Alonso is always in the wrong team at the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
Sebastian Vettel was at the right team at the right time. I think Sebastian Vettel is a great driver, incredible driver, has all those achievements for a reason. But I put Fernando Alonso in that Red Bull and I think he would have won 2009 and all the way to 2013 and, you know, wouldn't have had any sort of championship challenge. I think he would have destroyed the field in all those seasons. I'm getting off on a tangent, but for Lance Stroll going up against Fernando Alonso, he's a massive talent, and of course you're going to be outshined. So
yeah, because that is really not good for him as well, because you're looking at the positions and you're thinking, why is Stroll so far behind?
Alonso's got a big fan base, and I think, you know, I think sometimes also a little bit toxic as a fan base. Like, if anything is against Fernando Alonso or alongside Fernando Alonso, everything's compared against Fernando Alonso and massively inferior to Fernando Alonso. So I think...
So Stroll needs a teammate similar to his level to really make any comparison. I think that's the answer. Teammate similar to his level or goes to a different series, or Lawrence Stroll is not the owner of the team. There you go. And that sorts out the Lance Stroll problem.
Hey, I'll take him in IndyCar. If he goes to IndyCar, I won't mind it. I'll keep on watching him over there. But I have a little bit more tougher decision whether I choose him or Pato O'Ward.
Oh, that's a hard one. I
do love a good bit of Pato O'Ward. Oh, I don't Great know. Guy.
So you're rating this hot take?
Zero. Because everyone's agreeing with it. Like, not spicy. It's not spicy at all because everyone's going to agree with this. There's five of us who say...
Initially, I thought it was spicy because I know how much you love Lance Stroll, but... Yeah, most people will agree with this hot take. I'm going to go with the three again because there are the supporters out there.
You
if you're a Lance Stroll
three.
Supporter, let us know in the comments below if you support Lance Stroll. We'll see how many comments we get as well.
Zero. It'll be me and all my burner
Just
accounts.
Hayden. Yeah, all these different names. Lance Stroll lover 101. Thank you so much for sending us your hot takes. Please send us some more. You can send it on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube comments, wherever, and we'll rate your hot takes. See you on the next one.